I'd like to begin this morning by asking you to think about someone whom you know whose behavior annoys you. Someone who kind of bugs you, someone who makes you angry, someone who perhaps works to undermine you, someone that, frankly, you do not like. To call that person to mind and to imagine looking at his or her face, and as you are picturing this person, listen to these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Now, if someone asked me to rank the top five most personally challenging words of Jesus in all of the Gospels, this command, love your enemies, for me, would be right near the top. Probably one or two of the most challenging. If Jesus had said instead, I tell you solemnly, tolerate your enemies, well, I can do that. That's a little more easy, but he didn't. He used the word love. St. Thomas Aquinas offers us a definition of love. He said that love means to will the good of the other for the other's sake. So I will what is good for you. And that willing isn't simply a nice thought. Willing actually involves some kind of action. So if I have the will to lose 20 pounds, what do I have to do? I have to work out a couple times a week. I've got to stop stuffing muffins into my mouth. There's an action that accompanies my will. I have to do something if I'm to will it. And again, that is tough when it comes to loving an enemy. To go further in that definition from St. Thomas Aquinas, love is to will the good for the other. Then there's that last part, for the other's sake. Which means that we love without any self-interest whatsoever, expecting absolutely nothing in return. So if I give my sister a gift at Christmas, I'm honestly expecting her to give me something too in return. And if not a gift, a nice thank you. The true test of love, however, is willing the good of the other for the other's sake and nothing more. Which is probably one of the reasons Jesus told us to love our enemies. In reflecting on these words, love your enemies, Bishop Robert Barron proposes three reasons why our Lord may have given this command. The first is, your enemies can tell you a lot about yourselves. Sometimes the very things that I despise in the other can at times be the very things that I do, that I say, and that I think myself. We have to be on guard against becoming what we don't like, becoming what we hate. And in that sense, our enemy may be a kind of mirror for us. Jesus knew this, for example, when he said, remove the plank from your own eye before you start worrying about removing the speck from your brother's eye. And in that sense, I don't like this necessarily, but in that sense, an enemy can actually be a gift from God, pointing out to me the very faults in myself that I do not like. Secondly, it's important to love our enemies because sometimes our enemies, on some level, might be right. Think about the end of Jesus' life at the crucifixion, which we have depicted so beautifully here at the cathedral on the high altar. At this point in our Lord's life, how many remained with him? His mom and his best friend, the Blessed Virgin Mary and the beloved disciple, St. John. Everyone else hated him and had abandoned him. He was hated by the scribes, the Pharisees, the Roman officials, by Pilate, by King Herod. And his closest apostles abandoned him and even lied about ever having known him. At this point, at the end of Jesus' life, a lot of people would have considered him to be the enemy. He would have been on many enemies' lists. And yet, was Jesus right? Well, of course he was. It's important to love our enemies because maybe, just maybe, on some level, our enemies might be right. Finally, Bishop Barron points out that loving our enemies leaves open the possibility that we may win them back. Which makes sense, because if we're fighting or being passive-aggressive or aggressive or attacking one's enemy, that only confirms our enemy in his or her wickedness. Fighting fire with fire, which may be our inclination, only confirms his or her opposition to us. It does nothing to de-escalate the situation. But when you love your enemy, you will the good for him or her, and therefore you confound that person. Well, this is weird. He's loving me. You confuse that person to no end, and you bring that person back. Martin Luther King knew this. When faced with racial hatred, prejudice, violence, murder, he urged his followers not to fight violence with aggression. He knew that that would only perpetuate the violence and extend the aggression. Instead, he said to respond in love, in nonviolence. When a police officer and a protester diffuse a violent demonstration and civil unrest with a hug, the aggression of an enemy is diffused. And in that process, an enemy might just be won over. Again, part of me wishes that, a big part of me wishes that Jesus would have told his followers to tolerate your enemies. But had he said that, one could argue that we would miss out on testing ourselves for true love, a love that strives for the good of the other, a love that points out the plank in my own eye, a love that opens up the possibility that we may be wrong. And finally, a love that has the power to soften the hearts of our enemies and lead them to reconciliation. Imagine what the overwhelming goodness that could come to our families, our communities, to our politics, to our nation, to our world. Imagine the overwhelming goodness that could come from following those simple words of Jesus. Love your enemies.